Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
It's Here and Now. At the end of 2014, U.S. and NATO troops will leave Afghanistan, a pact reaffirmed at the NATO summit in Chicago this year. What happens then, especially to Afghan women? In the early 1900s, there were girls' schools and legislation banning forced marriage in Afghanistan. In the 1980s, during the Soviet occupation, women, in the cities anyway, had active public lives. But then some of the conservative mujahideen who helped throw the Soviets out threw women out of the job force and into veils. Then came civil war, the rise of the Taliban. In the 90s, Afghan women went deeper undercover into full burqas. Pleas to help the women of Afghanistan fell on deaf ears until the 9/11 attacks, and then their plight was said to be part of the reason for war. So what happens now? David Courtwright teaches peace studies at the University of Notre Dame and is director of the policy studies at the Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies. He's also co-author of the 2010 report, Afghan Women Speak. David, start at the end. What does happen to Afghan women as U.S. troops begin to leave?
Well, that was the question that we tried to address as we did the research for the study, and we looked at it in two parts. One is to see if there's a way to end the war and establish some security for the country, but at the same time protect human rights and preserve the gains that Afghan women have been able to achieve over these last 11 years. And the future is not very bright. Some gains are there. They certainly are significant, but even the gains that have been achieved so far, there's been erosion. The women we talked to felt that their ability to be more active in public, their gains in education and healthcare, these are in jeopardy as the Taliban remain very active around the countryside and as they encounter a lot of resistance from officials in their own government, in the Kabul government, those who are connected to the warlords and the former mujahideen.
Well, let's go over some of the gains and some of the setbacks, because it can muddle for people, especially if you hear some of the high-profile headlines, the cases of, for instance, the rape and torture of 18-year-old Lal Bibi by Afghan police, or the assassination of Hanifa Safi, who headed up women's affairs in one of the provinces. Your picture then might be of women still being tortured and beaten back. But on the other hand, you know, there were seats reserved for women in parliament. There was the right to vote.
Yeah, women now are fully equal before the law in Afghanistan. They have 25% of the seats in the parliament, and they are able to vote and to run in the elections. And that's a real significant gain. Even though most of the women that we talked to would acknowledge that the women who are there in parliament are there because they've been nominated by the warlords or by local political officials in their provinces and districts. So they're not representing interests of women the way we would understand it in the West. But nonetheless, a big change that has occurred over those last 10, 11 years. But we also learned that these rights are in jeopardy, that the level of electoral participation has actually declined over the last few election cycles as the corruption of the Karzai regime has increased. The numbers of women who are facing harassment and attacks even when they try to campaign politically seems to have been increasing. And many of the women we talked to were very worried about the further erosion of those political rights.
We'll talk about President Karzai for just a second, because your report from 2010 notes an irony that I think on the same day that a law eliminating discrimination against women, I think this was the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, the same day President Karzai signed this law, he also signed the Shiite Personal Status Law, and this would stipulate that wives must submit to sexual intercourse with their husbands every fourth night, seen by some as legalizing, you know, marital rape.
And this reflects the ambiguity, the two-faced approach that Karzai has been adopting, and that's reflected in his government's policies throughout. They adopt these laws probably mostly to please their American sponsors, but they also then adopt other laws that are in response to the demands of some of the warlords, some of the political factions in Afghanistan, very reactionary and frankly very misogynist.
Well, so what do you think? I mean, you've been a longtime advocate for bringing U.S. troops home. Your report shows how women in Afghanistan want a negotiated retreat of U.S. troops. The presence of foreigners in the country is, you know, part of what's provoked violence against them. But they don't feel safe if U.S. troops do leave. It's a real catch-22.
It truly is. And the thing we heard consistently is there needs to be an end to the war. And really, that's, I think, the big challenge. And it's quite striking if you think about it, of all the policies that we're undertaking in Afghanistan, what is the policy, what is the strategy for actually ending the war? Now, we'll be less directly involved in the war after 2014, but the plan is for the Afghan army and national police to continue the war. That seems to me an exercise in utter futility. If we can't defeat them after 11 years, how are we going to ensure that the Afghans can defeat them over the next number of years? Some of the women said, well, we have all these troops around, more than 300,000 of our own army and national police, and at that time nearly 100,000 U.S. and other international forces, but no one is protecting us. So the troops that are there somehow aren't oriented toward what's vitally necessary, which is to protect civilians and especially to protect the vulnerable and the women who are trying to exercise their rights.
I sometimes wonder, David, is this just something that in some ways takes time? I mean, no one could have imposed the rights that were eventually gained by, you know, African Americans, say, in the U.S. from the outside of the U.S.
It certainly will take time. And these deeply entrenched misogynist views, these very traditionalist prejudices that are pervasive in Afghanistan will not go away quickly, and they can't be changed from outside. But if you continue with the civil rights movement analogy, mm-hmm. it has to come through social action from within, from the people who are most victimized. And we've seen that in Afghanistan. The women are engaged, and they are courageously stepping forward to try to assert their rights, to work with their colleagues all around the country. You know, before the NATO summit, they came with a report, which they had developed through a project in which they had gone out to many different provinces and districts, had convened women at the local level, asked them, what would you like us to say to the NATO officials as they gather in the U.S.? One of the things they really talked about is the need for reaching out to people in the community around the peace process. The last thing they want is for an agreement that's established in a closed room by men with guns. They've had too much of that, and they strongly want to have some voice and to have a process that reflects the needs of the society, not simply the warlords and the power brokers in Kabul. They delivered their piece of paper, but they were not heard, and these ideas are not really gaining the kind of reception that they need.
David Courtwright, who teaches peace studies at the University of Notre Dame, also author of a 2010 report, Afghan Women Speak. David, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And as always, we welcome your thoughts on anything on the program, Afghanistan, FEMA, Sandy. Go to hearandnow.org, facebook.com/hearandnowradio, on Twitter, @hearandnow, @hearandnowrobin. Love to hear from you. Up next, Edgar Allan Poe, Here and Now.